This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I'd like to welcome you all here this morning, fourth Sunday in Advent. Our service today is from Divine Service 3 out of the Lutheran Service Book, hymn numbers 384, 357, 934, 336, 342, and 356. We'll begin on page 3 with confession and absolution, following the sharing of peace and the processional gift. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
In the name
of heaven and earth. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you
forgave
me
and
forgive
my sin. Let us kneel and be seated for the confession of sin. of grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's holy word.
Rise from the singing of the Alleluia verse. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and
And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud with the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and returned to her home. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Christ.
This time the meeting will be seated. We invite the youngsters of the congregation and visitors to come forward to the children.
Our money and our songs and everything. Oh, we come and praise God, and that's great that we want to do that, because we want to do that. Because what's the best gift that we got from God?
He forgives
our sins. Yes, through Jesus, his Son. That's the best. That is the Christmas gift, right? Christmas is what God gave to earth, and that is what he gives us. And we can come to church and we get forgiveness. And we receive his body and blood for forgiveness. And we receive his grace. And that's great that we want to do that. We should want to, just like, because did Jesus want to die on the cross? I don't think so. He didn't want to, but he knew he had to do that for us. Let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the best gift.
Thank you for the best gift.
The only gift we need.
The only gift.
Jesus, your Son.
Saved us.
Amen. Alright, so what's on my tie this morning? M&M's. So I brought you to Blow Pop and make sure that Mommy and Daddy, you can have that. And have a great week. Enjoy Christmas coming this week. We sing the sermon hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, on page 8 and 9.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Imagine living 300 years ago in Europe. Your father is a peasant farmer who works the land for the local prince. Your mother is a servant for a wealthy family. As soon as you are old enough, you will start working in the fields if you're a boy, or be a servant if you're a girl. You will work 6 days a week and have Sundays off to attend worship services and have a day of rest. You'll get married young and have lots of children who will also be peasant farmers or servants. This is your life. You are a baptized child of God, and your lot in life is to be a peasant farmer or a servant. You will work hard, go to church, trust in God, and look forward to the last day. The thought of being a kind of stuck there as a peasant farmer or a servant for generation after generation sounds just terrible to our ambitious, freedom-loving American ears. And that's why I believe it can be difficult to be a Christian in this nation. It can be difficult to trust in God because of the focus on individual achievement. In this nation, there is a great emphasis on pursuing the American dream of making lots of money and buying a big house and nice cars and fancy clothes and retiring to look in pride at all that you have accumulated and accomplished. In America, we love rag-to-riches stories of people who grew up poor, but through hard work and perseverance have become wealthy. We aspire to the American dream. We love the idea that if you just work hard enough and are clever enough, you can become rich. And this is very possible. There is abundant opportunity in America. And there is nothing particularly wrong with working hard and saving money and achieving things. But it has little to do with Christianity. Christianity is not about the American dream, and it's often easy to get that confused. Today in the gospel reading, we hear Mary's song. It's called the Magnificat from the first line, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Lutherans are sometimes accused of not thinking highly enough about Mary. As we study the Magnificat, we find that Mary does not want to be highly thought of. We find from Mary's song that Mary is not all about Mary. Mary is all about God. Mary's virtue is her humility. She is an unknown teenage girl from a nowhere village in the hills of Galilee. She's a nobody. She's not famous. She's not important, she's not rich, she does not have a lot of followers on TikTok or Instagram. Everything that Mary has is from the Lord. In our gospel reading today, we find pregnant Mary, who has gone to visit her relative Elizabeth. Mary is a virgin. Her womb should be empty, but she is going to give birth to the Savior of the world. Elizabeth is an old woman who has never been able to have a baby. Her womb should be empty, but she is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, who leaps in his mother's womb at the very presence of the unborn baby Jesus. The Lord filled their emptiness with life. The Lord filled their emptiness, and Mary sings about this. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Mary does not want to talk about Mary. Mary wants to extol God Almighty. She does not say, "My soul magnifies me. My spirit rejoices in myself." Mary is not taking a verbal selfie here. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." Mary is a nobody from nowhere. She is of low estate, and God has blessed her to be the mother of Jesus. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. This is Mary proclaiming the greatness of God. Mary is in humble submission to God's word. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. In Proverbs 9, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." The fear of the Lord is not a terror, but a familial fear, like fear of a good father. It's a reverential awe. It's a fear of knowing that the Lord is powerful and the Lord is merciful. It is the fear of knowing that God is God and you are not. That really is the problem that so many have today and so many have had since time began. Folks do not want to believe that God is God and they are just lowly servants of the Lord. Like the children of Israel at Sinai who built the golden calf. Folks so much want to create their own gods that will let them pursue their every sinful desire. If you build your own god, then you are in control. You are the one who calls the shots. People so much want to believe that they are in charge. But Mary clears this up. He has shown strength with his arm. The Lord has done mighty things over the centuries to show who he is. He created the world. He destroyed the world with the flood. He killed the firstborn of the Egyptians and passed over the houses of the children of Israel marked with the blood of the Lamb. He parted the Red Sea so the children of Israel could pass through and then drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his armies in the Red Sea. He sent manna and quail and water to sustain his people in the desert. Later, he sent his unfaithful children into exile and then brought them back to Jerusalem. The Lord is God and he is almighty. He has worked powerful things in the past and he will do it again. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. This is a major issue for our world today. This is such a powerful temptation that it leads many, many astray. You so much want to believe and rely on your own thoughts instead of on the Word of God. You so much want to be in charge, and you're being told these days that your feelings trump the facts, that feelings are the truth. You are being taught at school and at work and by the media that the most reliable source of truth is the thoughts of your heart. God disagrees. He scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. When we think about Mary, the mother of our Lord, it is not about elevating Mary. It's about learning from Mary to humbly submit to the word of God. Mary is a great witness to us of humble submission to God's word. When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her she is going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit and give birth to Jesus, who will be king, Mary humbly submits to the Lord's will. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me according to your word. This is something you can use as a daily truism to repeat as you look at yourself in the mirror. Let it be to me according to your word. This is not a formula for success in the world. This is not some daily affirmation of how great you are, but rather it is a formula for faithfulness to God. Let it be to me according to your word. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Jesus does not come to earth to prop up the status quo. He's not here to reward the rich and famous and congratulate them for their great accomplishments. Jesus is here to lift up lowly sinners. Jesus is not here to bring salvation to those who think they are good enough. Jesus is here to save sinners. Jesus comes to bring mercy to those who know they do not deserve God's mercy. Jesus doesn't care how much money you have. He doesn't care about your accomplishments in this life. Jesus cares that you have eternal life. If you are a lowly peasant farmer or you're the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, before God, you are the same. You're a lowly sinner who needs Jesus, and Jesus has come for you. You come before the Lord empty, and he fills you with life. When you come to the communion rail to receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, there is no distinctions. Everyone at the rail hungers and thirsts for righteousness. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. The Lord Jesus, God incarnate, God in flesh, is a developing little baby in the womb of a young virgin from Nazareth. Things are not what they appear. Jesus comes to bring about the great reversal. Those on the top of worldly things are brought low, and those on the bottom are exalted to the highest heights. It is so very easy to get distracted by the things of this world and start to believe that these things are most important. Jesus warns about this in Luke 8 in the parable of the sower and the seeds. The seed is the word of God. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So work hard at what you've been given to do, no matter how humble the task. Do what you have been given to do, knowing that these good works are for this life, to serve your neighbor. Know that you are a redeemed child of God. And each day look in the mirror and pray in the words of Mary, "Let it be to me according to your word." Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Prayers today for Rebecca Crossman, who has cancer, for Bob Burnett, whose cancer is not responding to treatments, for Tina Brinkman, who is hospitalized with complications from COVID, for Anna, a friend of the Baker's, a 17-year-old recovering from brain tumor surgery, And for Lexi, the granddaughter of friends of Matt Frank, the 3.5-year-old being treated for serious medical issues. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our congregation, which has rejoiced at the first advent of Christ in the flesh and his continual advent among us in his word and sacrament, and as we await the second advent in glory for judgment of the last day, that God will keep us in his word and faith through the end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors who, like John the Baptist, cry out with the word of truth in the wilderness of this fallen world, that they would be preserved in their labors, and that God would send workers into his vineyard and bring forth a bountiful harvest. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the schools of the church, that our young people may be taught to delight and treasure the word of God above all riches. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For relief from war and disorder, strife and rebellion, and for good government, faithful magistrates, and peace to aid the swift spread of the gospel. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and suffering, including Becky, Bob, Tina, Anna, and Lexi, that they would be anxious for nothing, but instead make their request known to Christ, the God of peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all prepared to receive the Lord's Supper, that we may rejoice in the presence of Christ, our true Emmanuel, who gives us a share of his divine life and forgiveness by his body and blood. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is both the root of Jesse and the righteous branch from his stump. By Christ's death, you have set him up as an ensign before the people to draw all to yourself. By his resurrection, you have silenced the kings who stood against him and taken away the power of death. Granted, as we recall with thanksgiving his advent in the flesh, we may always confess him and remain watchful for his advent in glory at the last day. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath that is revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Thank you.
and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith of the life everlasting. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you.
preserving the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you